Imagine a justice system built on rigorous evidence, not gut instincts or educated guesses about what works and what doesn't. More people could access the civil justice they deserve. The criminal justice system could be smaller, more effective, and more humane. The Access to Justice Lab here at Harvard Law School is producing that needed evidence, and this podcast is about the challenge of transforming law into an evidence-based field. I'm your host, Jim Greiner, and this is Proof Over Precedent. This week, we're bringing you a student voice.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kristen, and I'm a 1L at Harvard Law School. I'm really interested in capital punishment defense and maybe corporate law. Spencer, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Spencer. I'm also a 1L here at Harvard Law School, and I'm excited to hear more about Kristen's topic. As far as the specific area of law I want to go into, I'm still exploring different topic areas, but I know that generally I want to be doing a lot of trial work. That's really where my passion lies. But here I'd like to ask Kristen a bit about the topic that she wrote about for Professor Greiner's Access to Justice Lab.
I made a blog post about Zoom and failure to appear rates. The title of my article was "What Would the Effect of Zoom Court Have on Failure to Appear Rates?" And I chose this topic for a lot of reasons, but I think one of them is that my interest in going to law school stemmed from a discontent with the knowledge gaps in my community and the rest of the legal profession. Coming to Harvard Law School, you see all of the resources available to people of communities like your own through pro bono efforts and things like that. But I remember when I was growing up, we just really didn't know about all of these things. So you let the inaccessibility of knowledge in the legal system really permeate through your life, and it has real negative consequences. And so I chose this topic because I think it is an important way to show what a lack of knowledge can do and how that can affect your life in terms of failure to appear rates, and we'll get into why there's a connection there. But also, I'm interested in how Zoom was able to either mend that or what the consequences are and other access to justice issues that stem from that.
Yeah, that's such a great topic, and I'm really excited to learn more about it. But just to start off at a basic level, I don't really know much about Zoom trial and that kind of stuff. So what is failure to appear generally?
Yeah, so failure to appear is basically just the missing of a court appearance in civil or criminal cases. And they all get aggregated into one rate, looking at an overall failure to appear rate. So that's like across misdemeanors and felonies. But a lot of the research that I have is on a more granular level. So looking at counties and looking at failure to appear for either misdemeanors or felonies.
Nice. And were you able to find any specific reasons why people generally don't show up to court? Is it more of a transportation issue? Maybe a lack of knowledge? What are the main things that lead people to not be able to meet those court dates?
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons why people don't show up to court. And I think this goes back to why I'm interested in this topic, is one of them is a lack of knowledge about the date, time, location, or just other information, and the inability to attend due to work or childcare. The distance to the courthouse, especially for rural communities, can be prohibitive. And then just like events beyond one's control, like getting sick. But I was really interested in Reddit anecdotes. I don't know if any of our listeners have listened to podcasts recently, but I am a big fan of reading a Reddit story and kind of talking about it. So I just wanted to share one that I found. It's been edited down pretty significantly because it's a long post, but the title of it is, "I was arrested for failure to show up to court, but I was in court." So I'm just gonna read it and go over how my topic is implicated in it, and then we'll talk about it together.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah. In early 2021, I hit a stopped police vehicle. It was raining, and I thought the blue lights in front of me were on the shoulder. By the time I realized my brakes were not enough, and I hydroplaned into the back of the stopped police cruiser, I barely got out before I was tackled and asked what I was on. I was sober, passed field sobriety tests, but I did have a small amount of marijuana in the car with me that I immediately disclosed. They charged me with a misdemeanor failure to exercise due care, as well as a simple possession citation. Because of COVID, our court date got pushed several times. We finally went to court in June of 2021. When the judge heard what had happened and that the vehicle I hit was pulled over in the rush lane, she dismissed the misdemeanor charge entirely. But in August of 2021, I was pulled over for speeding. The officer ran my plates and discovered two outstanding felony warrants for my arrest for failure to show up to court. What were the charges? Two counts of reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. He tells me the warrants say I failed up to show to court on the same day, at the same time, in the same courtroom, before the same judge that I was in court with that June. I went to jail and my parents scrambled to bail me out the next morning. $300 to get the car back, $600 for the bail bondsman. When we go back to court, the same judge asks me how I want to go about the charges. When I ask her what happened, she tells me that they did not know about the charges at the time we went to court, even though that was when we were supposed to be there for them. Apparently, they did not know because the felonies were filed 7 days after my wreck, and these charges were filed by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. All the judge gave me was a small apology, and then we proceeded to court a few months later. I ended up going with judicial conversion per my lawyer and did a year of probation in exchange for expunging the charges at the end. So one of the things that I talked about in my research was that COVID-19 ground the system to a halt. Trials were paused, there were longer pretrial periods, and there was a huge push by advocates to mend this quickly to avoid rights violations, and that's why online appearances happened. This all happened at different times in different parts of the country. So what I can tell from this topic is that they were appearing in person in June of 2021, but COVID was causing a lot of delays in pushing to make sure that people were doing it in a safe way. So I think offhand, what I could say that would have helped in this situation is if they had transitioned to an online system and figured it out by this time, and also just made sure that they were providing adequate notice to this person, because it seems like they were on top of it. They showed up to court for this one charge, but not for the other charges, because they didn't know. And it seems like the judge didn't even know. So that just goes to show that COVID had a huge impact on the court system. Another thing that I wanted to point out was that there was a huge consequence for failure to appear in this case. He was arrested because he had an outstanding warrant. So he got another charge tacked on as a result of this. Yeah. Is there anything that you want to talk about in relation to this post?
Yeah, sure. It seems ridiculous to me that at this day and age, they were completely unable to contact him at all. I'm sure that they waited until they pulled him over for a different issue to even bring up this huge thing that was supposedly on his record. I'm sure he could have been reached by email, by phone, by letter. People are not that hard to track down nowadays. You can find someone online pretty quickly, and especially law enforcement should be able to. So it's shocking that an issue would get this far in 2021.
Totally. I see that. And obviously we talked about in our civil procedure class with Professor Greiner, who you may know if you're listening to these podcasts, about how you're not required to actually notify someone. You're just required to provide adequate notices. And that does bring up a lot of issues with failure to appear because some people just aren't getting notice.
And I'm curious, in your research, have you generally noticed any other sort of consequences besides what this Reddit post detailed in terms of not making it to a court date?
Yeah. So unfortunately, there are quite a few consequences for failure to appear, and that's why it's such a heavy topic. But the penalties vary by state. Some of the penalties can be fines, suspended licenses, incarceration, as we saw in this post, and or additional charges. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly in the criminal context. In the civil context, there's default judgments, which, if our listeners don't know, a default judgment is just a judgment in favor of the plaintiff in the case that the defendant doesn't show up to court. Yeah. And there are, just to talk about like why we should care about this topic, the scope of the problem is quite large. In 2019, for criminal cases, the national failure to appear rate was around 1%. And with the criminal caseloads that we saw pre-COVID, that's about 100,000 missed appearances. But a lot of the data isn't at the national level, because that requires time and aggregation. So if you look at more granular data, 75 of the largest urban counties show that for felony offenses, the failure to appear rate is about 25%. For low-level offenses in New York City, the failure to appear rate is about 40%. And yeah, we can move on to another anecdote.
Sure.
So this one's a lot shorter. But I thought that it was important because it shows like the issue with being far away from your court, even not in rural areas. So the Reddit story reads, I've been pulled over and I received a ticket for failure to carry insurance. The big issue is that I was pulled over in a county 400 miles away and simply can't afford to attend physically and pay for a potential no insurance ticket, which would be $250 to $500 in the state of Montana, if I'm not mistaken. I've called the court's number many times to no avail. What can I do? In the comments that Redditors provided as potential solutions are, you need to find a way to appear or hire a lawyer to appear for you, if allowed. The second one is, does the court have any online services? Many courts have options now to pay traffic tickets online without a court appearance. The third one is, call the police department or the municipal clerk in the town where the court is located. And fourth is, many counties offer Zoom options now.
That first one is definitely a bit insensitive, to say the least, if they're talking about $250 to $500 ticket. I'm sure hiring a lawyer to appear for you would cost quite a bit more than that. So I don't think that's a feasible solution for this kind of situation.
It's definitely not an option, and they're specifically pointing to an issue that they face about being able to afford it.
I'm just curious, what does your research show would be like the best option for someone in this situation?
Yeah, so I think one of the best options would be to just appear by Zoom if that is something that's written on the ticket. But this person likely doesn't have that option because they posted about the ticket and they seem to assume that it's in person. So probably their assumption is correct. But I think that something that I've learned in my research is that the police department will often be in contact with the courts, and they usually make appearances easier by going to the local police department over the courthouse. So I would say that some of the best advice would be, if you're trying to call the courthouse and they're not answering, you should call the non-emergency line for the police department to see if you can get a hold of the courthouse. But if there is a Zoom option available, I would take that. And alternatively, I think that just paying the ticket in lieu of a court appearance might be the best bet as well.
Interesting. I wouldn't even have thought of calling the police non-emergency line, so that's definitely good to know. And have you found whether or not Zoom court, where it's available, whether it actually reduces failure to appear rates in practice?
Yeah, so there's actually quite a bit of research on this, but it's all at the county level, so we need more research on it. But some of the research shows that failure to appear rates actually decreased post-COVID when Zoom popped up as an option. So just to provide some of the data, there was a 60% decrease in failure to appear rates in the municipal county court in Alvin, Texas. In areas of North Dakota, New Jersey, and Michigan, appearance rates skyrocketed to above 99% from 80%, 80%, and 89.3% respectively. There were decreases by 6% in failure to appear in Buckeye County, Arizona, and there were overall decreases in Jefferson County, Alabama, and Lincoln County, Washington. But the research is not fully in support of decreased failure to appear rates. There is some research that showed there were increases in failure to appear rates, and that happened in La Crosse County, Wisconsin, which showed that there was an increase in bench warrants for failure to appear rates. And in Kansas City, Missouri, failure to appear rates increased.
But in these places where you were able to see a decrease in failure to appear rates, is there any reason why it's not, why Zoom trials aren't implemented more widely? Are there any cons of Zoom or any things that maybe judges or someone else in the system is not so much a fan of when it comes to Zoom?
Yeah, so there are some criticisms. Not everyone in the United States has access to internet. So 22.3% of Americans in rural areas and 27.7% of Americans in tribal lands lack coverage. And a lot of attorneys do report that in a Zoom setting, it's more difficult for them to meet with their clients in secure spaces and discuss their options, because when they're in person, they're able to have sidebars and pass sticky notes, but that's not a reality in the system yet.
Is there anything that you found in your research that could act as a solution to any of those issues?
Yeah, for sure. I think that one of the most interesting solutions for accessing internet is that a lot of places have popped up to provide that internet access by being closer to you. For example, Boston Public Libraries has a space where you can take your court hearings from the library. So you can use their internet access. And also New York's 5th Judicial District has the same option of a public library. There's also justice buses that pop up around the country that are like an accessible courthouse away from a courthouse in areas where the courthouse is just too far away. There are legal kiosks in the Mojave Desert in Arizona that act as both a solution to the internet access problem, but also a solution to the distance to a courthouse option. You can also attend your local police station and zoom in from there to the courthouse. And I think that for the other one, as we know from our education, we have breakout rooms. And so I think that we just need to be adamant about making sure these spaces where clients and their attorneys meet are protected and secured and not accessible to government officials so that they can have their privacy. But I don't think that it's prohibitive. I don't think that either of these should be reasons why we don't utilize Zoom options, because there's something to be said about some of the data that shows that Zoom appearances skyrocketed appearance rates to above 99%. Yeah, I think we are running out of time, but it was a pleasure discussing this with you, Spencer.
Yeah, it was so great to learn more about it, and you've clearly done a lot of research on this, so it was great to talk to you about it.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Proof Over Precedent is a production of the Access to Justice Lab at Harvard Law School. Views expressed in student podcasts are not necessarily those of the A to J Lab. Thanks for listening. If we piqued your interest, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Even better, leave us a rating or share an episode with a friend or on social media. Here's a sneak preview of what we'll bring you next week.
Courts put all of the decision-making power on how a matter is heard, the medium in which a matter is heard, squarely with the judicial officer and what their preference will be. But if it doesn't actually matter for court outcomes, so you're not getting better time to disposition, you're not getting better durability of court orders, people are appearing at the same rates in these matters. So court outcomes aren't changing because of the medium. That means efficiency is not changing. So if we want to talk about efficient and effective courts, we're kind of baselined, regardless of the medium, then maybe what courts should really be doing is changing that decision-making power to the litigant.